Okay, back on the trying to stay focused on topic, we're looking at the social acceptance of alcohol in town. Zero tolerance. You got my
zero tolerance for what?
Zero tolerance for violation of alcohol restrictions.
No, any law. Any law, not any just law.
Any law.
The provisional license law. How many kids in this town, when they turn 16, okay, they get their license? You got to stop them then. That's the first time they deal with the law.
This is not the topic. The topic is, I understand what you're saying. I understand 100% what you're saying, okay?
Well, it may be zero tolerance, but when that guy, the policeman we had here, how are you somebody?
In the past, Mike, we're moving forward.
But no, but it's not in the past, because that's what happened back there, and he got run out of town. So if you start enforcing like he did, see
Mike,
you
later. Mike, Art Hurd has made more DUI arrests than he ever made in his career, and we've got nothing but support in the community. The community is supporting the police department.
I know this kid. I sat there and Glenn held his hand for 5 hours and he wasn't going to live. And I agree with what Nancy said. It's my responsibility to warn him. It's your responsibility to cite him. I can't cite him. I can't scare him like you can in that sense. It's our responsibility as parents to make sure our kids know what they're walking into if they do this, and that we can't save them from this. We can't call up somebody and say, oh, come on, give them a warning. It doesn't work that way. And I think that the zero tolerance has to come from you guys, but it has to start with us as parents.
Yes. I think the other piece to the zero tolerance thing is also the adults providing the alcohol for the minors in the first place, too. Yep. It's not just police. I think there's a zero tolerance responsibility in the community to make those folks that are providing alcohol to underage drinkers, for them to know that the community does not support that. You know, additionally, there is a law enforcement component. I don't know, you know, I'm not as familiar with the Alaska laws on providing alcohol to minors, but, you know, I think that's another big piece with the zero tolerance that needs to be addressed.
Absolutely.
You know, one thing that might be helpful is articles or ads, whatever, in the paper weekly that, you know, explore a topic and what are the consequences? You know, what are the consequences for getting picked up on a DUI? Mm-hmm. And I always thought people right to jail, you spend 3 days in jail. I always thought that. But I don't really know what the real answer is.
Okay.
And, you know, some of those things where you can educate your community.
That education?
Because, Chief, please don't hear my comments as I'm not in support of law enforcement. I'm all about law enforcement.
I'm hearing exactly the opposite.
Really?
No.
My comment made you think I was against law enforcement?
No.
I think one other thing, kind of going back to Nancy's comment, because I remember when I was growing up in Washington, every single liquor store I felt like had one of those posters that said, here's the consequences if you provide alcohol to minors. So, you know, if we can get something like that up in the liquor stores, but then also do Nancy's idea of, you know, putting stuff in the paper. I think that that's a good point, because, you know, how many of us outside of after we take our driving test remember what the offenses are for a DUI?
One of the things that we've had in the past are various programs that have come through that have been funded from outside the community, and then for whatever reason they disappear, and then they stop, you know, and I won't use, I'm describing the one that comes to my mind, probably most of you, is the DARE program. And I don't really know how successful it was. But I do believe that the idea of having signs and continuous nonstop media is important. That's visible, that's on the wall as you walk through the school door, or on the wall as you walk through the borough office or the Chilkat Valley News week after week. Mm-hmm. And we should pay for that. And we should pay for it perhaps through the community and youth development money or something like that, create some method to fund that through our own community and our own borough as a responsibility, and that's part of the community support.
And we're back to just what Dr. Bowman was saying before, the school board and the assembly. Mm-hmm. You know, when you attach dollars to things, you need the school board and the borough assembly.
Is the school district still a drug-free zone? Is it?
Oh, absolutely.
No, not for
Yeah, right.
That's exempt. And
smoking and anything else you can think of. I mean, it is a drug-free zone that way. What I was going to say was I think that in order, you know, what gets the attention and the resources gets done, I think we all know, and I think that in order to make something really happen, I think it has to have some people who are giving it constant attention, care, and watering, and I think some sort of an ad hoc task force that is charged with getting this word out and doing these things and making things happen is the way to really send a message. You know, at the borough level, you know, it's a concern for our community that it ought to be given borough attention. And I mean, obviously the school district is part of the borough too, it's involved, and that and kind of moving this forward, because if it's just kind of an afterthought, it'll just go away. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what I appreciate about Esther's comment, is I think that you're, you know, the group that can tell you what will help them is that group of, you know, high school kids that are willing to talk about it and make a statement. You know, yep. When I hear Esther say, we need a place to go that we can, it'd be like, you know, that should, for me, that would be a borough huge priority.
And I've actually heard that over the years, lots of kids saying the same
thing.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I hear nothing new all the time in my office.
Yeah.
And if there were a borough committee or a task force that ought to have kids on it, too.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what I was saying about having alternatives. And I think, you know, I don't think that we're going to be able to tackle alcohol and make it seem cool because we're going against nationwide media, TV, and stuff. But making the alternatives cool. Mm-hmm. And getting the kids into it on what they want and what they think is going to be the ideal place for them to hang out and make sobriety cool. And you don't get in unless, you know, you're cool enough to be sober and have those kinds of things. And have parents that are proud of that. And don't be afraid to wear that badge that, hey, my kid's sober.
Yeah.
And I think that's real important. We're not going to be able to battle alcohol and get rid of it. We're not going to be able to convince them that it isn't cool in some respects for some kid. It's going to happen. And one of my concerns about education also is the fact that how do we educate them to be responsible if in case they find themselves in a position where that's the case? I want to know that they can act collectively, and we have it made here. We have the greatest group of close-knit kids. In Simon Ford's words, these kids are so close. And they are. Get them working with that and get them to help develop this responsibility within their group. You get a group going, there's going to be at least one that's going to say, hey, we got to be responsible here. We can't keep calling parents and saying somebody's dead. And I think that's just really important. Not to condone it, not to give it, but we all know that we can't get rid of it totally. So let's, you know, a little bit of, you know, hey, my number's here, call me, don't drive, I will come 20 miles to get you. You know, something like that too.
We're going to try and stay on task here and move along and get through this next section, and then we're going to kind of focus on some action plans of what we can do for each of these three areas. These are kind of all self-esteem issues. I think they're cool. Not being aware of available help, maybe afraid of getting available help, denial, low self-esteem, lack of respect. What do we do with these issues? Self-esteem issues. Stephanie?
Hello. I was part of the search effort in 2007 to address this problem. We had multiple community meetings, and the last one, I think Heather was there, we had a decision-making function, and we had kids in the group. And one of the programs that was identified was something called Strengthening Families, but it also was strengthening the kids, because the kids that were in the group, the high school kids, felt that they were failures in school, and that was contributing to their problem, and they were looking actually for extra extra help in that. Yeah. You know, the school arena is what really counts for kids. That's where they get their feedback. And so if there are some kids who are...
With the same plan again.
Yeah.
Education, peer support, and resources.
Well, what
is the resources from in town? Are we going to bring in some outside speakers? Are we going to throw some money at it?
The only reason I bring this up is that to count to, as another side of Esther's, the idea that we need a teen center, that never came up amongst those kids that were involved in this long process. Mm-hmm. That's not what they identified as their need. So, you know, I think we have to keep looking too.
Yes,
sir. I hate to sound like a textbook, but I will.
Somebody's got to.
The most important thing for self-esteem in any child growing up is a sense of self-efficacy, which means that I can do things in this world and be effective. Whether that's fixing a car for a teenage child, probably a boy, or whether it means being able to read or write or know how to hammer nails or, you know, that's what makes kids feel good about themselves. I know how to, your little ones say, I know how to tie my shoes, you know, and that's a big deal. And it's the same thing all the way up through adulthood, actually. But if we want our kids to feel good, then we need to make sure that they know how to do things and survive in this world. Whether that's mountaineering, I mean, that's the thing that's so cool about what the mountain guides are doing, taking right. kids out. That makes them feel capable and makes them have good self-esteem. It's not just, oh, you're a good kid. You're a good kid. I'm so proud of you. You know, for what? You know. That's what makes our kids feel good. And so if we're thinking programmatically, that's how we need to be thinking in terms of self-efficacy for these young people.
Yes, ma'am.
To kind of spin off what Jan was saying, one of the most sobering things that I read probably about 10 years ago in, I think, Discover magazine, we can do so many things to understand how our brains work now, was how damaging alcohol is to a developing frontal cortex.
Yeah.
And that it permanently impairs mm-hmm. your ability to make the right decisions forever. And I wish one of our approaches would be to find a way to make kids feel so good about themselves, they want to protect their resource that is their ticket to do everything that Jan was talking about, to have a better future. And I think it was the last alcohol fatality in our town in July, and I was on the ambulance crew that went to that, and it's very sad to see someone's life just snuffed out because of one crappy choice. And yeah. I think we just need to tell the truth to kids over and over and over how permanently damaging. They do feel invincible, but it's permanent. And one weekend binging, it's kind of like fetal alcohol and a pregnant mother. We don't know whether one glass of wine is too much or not. We don't know if one weekend of binging is all it takes to permanently damage that, but we need kids to somehow feel good enough about themselves that they step back from that cliff and not step over.
And I agree with you 100%, except for it wasn't one bad decision. It was bad decisions from back at the age of 13.
Right, but the precipice was yeah. then. It happened to be the last straw. Yeah.
Well, we need to let them know from 10 years old what the consequences are.
My thing is about the self-esteem of, at school. You know, you have kids that aren't involved in sports and kids that are involved in sports that really, you know, basketball is they all it's at that school. That school offers so much more. And I've had people, you know, they feel like crap if they, the cheer team, just go back to the cheer team, you yeah. know. My son was on the cheer team. He got harassed forever about it. But it's something he wanted to do. And I think the self-esteem in a school needs to be way up there, and everything should be the same. If the coaches and stuff are telling the players, oh, that's a sissy sport, and all that stuff, they should not be coaching. It's a whole school. If they can't support every school, a sport, get them out of there. It's self-esteem for the whole school. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a big thing.
Yeah. That's peer support, education,
yep. And it's all.
Oh, Jeff Trenton? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Going back to the education, there's the Taylor White Foundation in Juneau. They have that car that was involved in a fatality about 2 years ago. The foundation actually put together a video of the kids involved, including the driver who killed his best friend. And it would be very interesting to have a situation like that, bring it up here, maybe even bring the driver up and have him, you know, talk to some of our kids and tell them this is the situation.
That's a good resource. Another one that Juno was doing and has done all over the country is prom accidents or mock accidents, where you just bring in a wrecked car and you have a fatality that's walking amongst your classrooms. These are some great programs that we can bring in at very low expense, actually. Yes, sir.
He touched on it. I think fear is a great tool. I think fear is one of the best tools we have. I think showing them this, talking to this, people with experience. I will tell them my sad alcohol drug stories and where that took me. I'll stand in front of the school and tell them. And if one kid hears it, good. You know, we need to get out there and tell them our stories if we have them. I'm willing to do that. Maybe someone else is. Maybe we can make it worth more. Maybe we can make it mandatory that they have to sit and listen to us. And we can scare them just enough. I don't know.
Walking through the school, seeing that sign that says "We will search your lockers," I love seeing that. But maybe if they had a big sign there, you know, about alcohol and some of the education could be big and posted in the school. Since I am 56, and when I was your age, we were asking for a teen center here. So I don't know that.
Good luck,
Esther. Anyway, just the whole. It takes a village to raise a kid. I was just thinking lately, I know a couple of our youth who I think are going to be the next ones, and I thought about just driving to their house and knocking on the door and walking in and just saying, I care about you, you know, and I mean, if maybe each one of us went to two kids we think about, that could happen too.
Yeah, that was mentioned earlier tonight, you know, parents can form their own group, and where's your kid, where's my kid, let's go out and get in the car and go track them down.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, even take one kid that you see around town, you think that might happen to, and what the heck, walk up to him and just say, I'm concerned about you, I care about you, you know, just please don't go down that.
A big self-esteem booster there.
Yeah, the other thing is, we did in the past, and I'm not sure, I think you were the police chief at the time, but the meeting with all the, I mean, I don't see any bartenders or bar owners here, but we had a meeting at one point, maybe I think you were the chief, with all the bartenders in town, and you just wrote a letter and asked them all to come, yeah. And asked for their ideas on what to do, and a lot came out of that, I thought, yeah. Because they're at the pulse of everything with serving alcohol here. The other thing is, for a while there, I was part of a peace circle, which I thought was wonderful, and that was the same thing Bruce was talking about, where people, you know, the kids could choose, instead of going to court, or, you know, they picked their, whoever their, the person in charge of the case was, they were able to offer them an alternative, which was coming to a peace circle, which was formed by volunteers in the community who had something to say, like Bruce does, who could share where they've been and, you know, help to just give that kid some support and give him a path and ask him what he could do to change his life, what steps could he take, and then we held him to it. And I thought that was a wonderful thing, and then it went away, but that was just my idea.
Yeah. And I've actually talked with the magistrate about that youth court or peace circle. Is it something that we could use here?
And then when you see the kid in town, they knew you were there, they knew their private thoughts because we all shared. You know, and that has some weight to it.
Yes, ma'am.
When we have a police officer in the school every day, was I wasn't involved at the school at all, but I was just wondering how effective that was in educating the kids, and if that could be done again.
I don't know. I wasn't there at that time. Brian, do you have any input on
that? I'm not going to say anything.
Yes, sir.
I have something to say. friends of the boy that was killed. I know those children. I know their parents. And I know what you're saying comes from your heart, and you want to find something good, but I'm also telling you that these children will not listen to that. And I don't think the upcoming children will listen to that. There was a program that they had in Wisconsin at one time that took someone who got a DUI or something equivalent, and they took them to a place and they photographed them with one drink and then going through a field of tests. And they did this over and over again. These kids don't, they are invincible. Their parents are Alaskans. They're hardworking, they were hard drinking, and they think they're the same way. I've seen these kids before they drank. They did these things then.
That program you're talking about, and there's one of this equipment now, it's called Fatal Vision, where you actually have goggles that will simulate certain drinks. So you're not giving the kids drinks,
okay,
but just the goggles will simulate
that. Let them, and then show them that they aren't driving the way they think they're driving, that they aren't walking the way they think they're walking, because that's the only thing I honestly believe they'll look at.
Search
they don't think this is going to happen to them. This is, John was the closest thing that came to really touching them with this, and it hurt them terribly, you know, all of them. But it'll only last a certain amount of time, as Reef does.
It has to. It's got to be continued. We've got about 20 minutes left here. I'll get right with you. I want to write down some concrete ideas for an action plan. What are we going to do? Yes.
As we've all said, obviously you're not going to get rid of the problem of alcohol. But the problem, really, they're going to get around the laws. I mean, they went from Facebook to texting. They'll go from driving to walking if they have to, because drinking is so attractive. And that's part of the social pressure. But we have to make drinking unattractive to kids. And yeah, those situations where kids died or get seriously injured, that lasts for a while. But it does wear off, because what are the chances?
Yeah.
In all of their drinking, this doesn't happen to them. You know, and like maybe it's somebody they know, but that's still like once every couple of years, you know, it only lasts so long. And so alcohol has to somehow be made unattractive. And like Esther was talking about, like alternatives that are safe alternatives that aren't like telling you that you're a bad person for drinking and being, because a lot of times kids drink because it's a bad thing, because they don't respect authority and they don't feel respected by the authority. And so if there can be just a, like the community center that shows kids that them and adults, we're on the same page. We all know drinking is bad, but something that brings us together and helps us to respect each other in a way that is an alternative to drinking.
Thank you. Steve.
We're just trying to get programs in that relate directly to the kids. I remember we had Road Recovery. I know there's a few parents here from Road Recovery. It was a group of musicians that came up with a grant from the library, and they came up from New York. There was one from Chicago that ran for 3 years straight, every August. And there was a dozen some odd kids in the third group. And in 1 week, these musicians, which were all recovering drug addicts or alcoholics, and they're all sober, came and taught kids music. The kids created their own concert, up to five songs, and interspersed throughout that, they would circle up and the teachers from New York or whatever, the ones that were recovering, would just share stories. So this is my recovery story. They would harp on it, they would preach it, this is my story, let's go make some music. And the kids, I talk about self-esteem, those kids sold out of this hall every year, standing ovations at the end, and actually went down to the they opened for a band that was playing in the tribal area there on a Saturday night. It was just an incredible experience for them. So finding those programs that the kids, one, get self-esteem and education, and it reaches directly to them. I thought that was a good thing. And obviously the next thing would be planning. But we're planning nonprofits, and it didn't really cost much to bring those guys up. Just create a program.
I've tried to find some funding programs for something called the City Machine, which is akin to the Fatal Vision goggles. It's a little go-kart that actually simulates how you drive while you're drinking or distracted. The funding is not available through federal or state sources. Perhaps maybe the businesses can come up with a donation for $29,000.
I guess the action or task force, I think, is really important. And I think that that's exactly one of the questions, the issues that you bring up is funding, and which pool are we going to pull it out of? Well, we should pull it out of our own pocket, fund it out of our own pocket through our tax base and through one of the existing borough agencies or programs, but is fundamentally a part of our program, not, and we can bring in those programs and put together our program versus looking outside, particularly for grant funding. I think that it should be funded from within. That's the way to keep things around and allow it to be sustainable.
Well, the Moose are heavily involved in this stuff too, so
I'm gonna give you my address. I'm gonna give you my give you my rough idea of the resources in town that I think need to be involved in any action plan. Borough assembly, school board, parents, teachers, law enforcement, Lintown counseling, certain behavioral health, private practice persons, medical professionals, religious leaders, co-workers, media, H&S, CBN, Haynes News, licensed liquor establishments. That's just the rough draft.
The whole town.
Yeah. Everybody's got a problem.
Get real. It's the whole town's problem.
Yeah.
It is. You might not be drinking, and one of the drinking kids kills your kid that isn't drinking. Get real. Right down on the street, right there.
So what's an action plan?
Media blitz, right? We need a media.
This is a start.
Yes, ma'am?
Well, we've all been talking about the importance of kids being involved. And just to reemphasize that, I think research shows that kids don't listen to adults as much as they listen to each other. And the importance of having peer support and having kids run a group or do something in the school where they are talking amongst each other and they are listening to each other, because, you know, I mean, we've all been there, and I'm sure the kids who are here can attest that it's really hard to be a kid who doesn't drink or who doesn't want to do that, and to build structure around those kids and support them. And, you know, create a place where it's safe to say that, and it's safe to talk about it and listen to each other. Because at the end of the day, they're not going to listen to the adults as much as they're going to listen to each other.
And you know, the real funny thing about what you're saying is those kids that don't drink are in the majority.
Yes.
The vast majority.
Yep.
You know, it's a small minority of the kids that are involved in this, and somehow the majority doesn't want to be uncool and tell them, hey, you know, it's all right to not drink.
And if it is the majority, that's a huge plus. You know, I mean, there are three clinicians here from Lynn Canal Counseling. We have all sorts of training and leading groups and, you know, open discussions. You know, I think that's something that should be in the action plan, is being able to have something like that going in the school to build structure around those kids.
Did somebody back there have something?
I just have a thought that a lot of the minority, the student minority that is partying with people in their early 20s who have access to alcohol, and that maybe the liquor store might have an idea who some of those people are and what the pathway is for the alcohol getting in the hands of the teenagers. And I don't know how much resourcing goes on now between the police force and those liquor stores, but maybe there's a way to take advantage of what the liquor stores know about how the alcohol is getting to these parties. And you know, if you know who those people are, then maybe it's easier to find the party. Because if you know what their vehicle looks like, then maybe it's easier for the police force to figure out where the party is.
Yeah.
Could we stop calling going out and drinking and getting drunk partying?
I mean,
we have birthday parties for kids, we have anniversary parties, we have graduation parties, but drinking is drinking, it's not partying. And that's when we talk about wanting to make a change. We're grooming our 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-olds to think of parties when they get big as going out and getting drunk, just by how we talk.
Hey, I grew up in a family where my mother and my father came home every night and drank, and it was part of the ritual, and all the friends did the same thing.
Yep.
And I know that all of my friends did the same thing, and if it's part of your family life, and I couldn't wait till I got to be 21 or whatever, and I could start drinking. I couldn't wait till that day, and then I drank. I drank and I drank and I drank and I drank responsibly for a long time, and finally I couldn't drink responsibly more, and 14 years ago I got sober after drinking for 24 years. And I'm coming out right now because I really like what Zeus said about being able to share the story. Many, many people who are alcoholics, and alcoholism is a whole different matter than problem drinking, because alcoholism is a chemical thing. It's not a bad, it's not a character trait. It's something you have genetically. It's something in your blood. It's something in your brain, and it's so much more understood now than it ever was before. But I guess what I'm saying is, I'm another person who's willing to come out and talk about how I survived it and how I'm now living my best life ever. And if I don't talk about it, if those of us who have been through what we've been through, and we're fortunate enough to come through alive, if we can do that and share our stories or share our example, I don't have to say a word if somebody knows what I've been through. And sometimes just the reminder, a sign in the window is a great thing, but a human being walking around living a really good, I mean, just a decent life is sometimes all everything. But I think awareness of alcoholism as a disease is rarely spoken about, and it's not something to be ashamed of. It's something that happens in families, and sometimes it can happen in skipped generations. It doesn't matter, but alcoholism...
Yeah, absolutely. Education is a big issue.
But again, education is one thing, but when you're trying to reach young kids, it's actually seeing people who've been there, done that.
I got Mike, Tara, and Mark.
I'm just going to say, I think obviously keep this moving forward, bring in a task force or a committee who's working on this and making things happen, but I do think also a lot of resources have to be applied, but I think one thing is that the education component is big, and we can involve students in creating student radio spots, posters that could be broadcast through the town, and I think they would have a big piece to play in all of this, because it would, through their own investigations and through their peer interactions, I think that would have a positive effect.
Tara?
I won't say much, but in the observe and report role that I stick to, I was really surprised that a MAD or SAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving or Students Against Drunk Driving group did not form after all this.
They
tried it before.
Mark? First a comment. One, the mention that the percentage of drinkers versus non-drinkers is not very high. I think that's a cyclical thing. I think we're in a good time in that respect now. When I was in high school, it was radically the other way. And in between, I know that there's been times when it's been up and down. I side with Mr. Byer here that the best thing that we can do to come out of here is really just look at the issue of sustainability. Mm-hmm. You know, because because what's happened is these meetings have happened before, and apparently not much has happened, because we get fired up, we write down a lot of good ideas, but there's no quarterback, there's no coach, there's no manager, and so it doesn't happen. So to me, if we just focused on that one thing, if the one action item that happened here was to plan for sustainability in a task force, then job done, and the rest of it, you know, then that group can take this stuff and do something with it. Mm-hmm. But we can come up with a list of the 10 best ideas in the world, but if they don't happen, they're worthless. So I just propose that we just focus solely on how do we create this task force and make that the one takeaway for this for tonight.
We can add an anonymous tip line or anonymous reporting page to our website so that people aren't afraid they're going to be pressured or harassed by turning people or their friends or their children's friends in.
Just today, there was an issue about I could call the police, but I have to give my name. They say they won't give it out, so thank you.
Did everybody sign up on the sign-up list? Who's interested in being involved in a task force? Who's got the list?
But research also shows that kids are very influenced by their parents,
absolutely.
That they're very influenced by their teachers and their administrators and the law enforcement that surrounds them. And I'll just encourage all of us to step it up in being influential in kids' lives and speaking into other kids' lives that aren't just your own kids. We have this invisible line that you can't talk to other people's kids. I think we need to speak positive things, we need to speak esteemable things into other people's lives, like Jan did to my life when I was a teenager.
Yeah, and it can't be, just building on that, it can't be a one-time lecture and we're going to preach about the evils of alcohol and then forget about it.
Right.
When you're sitting down with your kids, watching TV, you can have this conversation. When you're at the supper table, you can have this conversation. When you're walking past somebody in the store that's your friend's kid, you can have this conversation. When you're talking on the news, or to the newspaper, or on the radio station, when you're at a school board meeting, or at an assembly meeting, you can make these comments. We're not going to let this happen anymore. I still don't have my list. Anybody that wants to be on task force, let me know on the way up. Or just put a check mark by your name, and we'll come up with some date. We'll get back together, and that's what this meeting was for. This meeting was to raise awareness, to get everybody together, to focus on what the problem was, and then to get some action plan to move forward. Yes, ma'am.
Side note, again, alcohol isn't going to be made uncool, but especially if it's presented just as some evil, as adults just get together and talk to kids about how bad they are if they're using alcohol or how it's just such a bad thing, because obviously kids have seen that it can be a fun thing and that lots of adults are doing it. And so I guess just not being so like, oh, alcohol is evil, that kind of thing, and actually being like, hey, there are long-term effects, and it's just not good for you. And being
communicating in the kids in a way that isn't like, I'm better than you. It's more like, let's just talk about this.
It's communicating. That's the key word.
Respect.
Yes, ma'am.
I always made my kids watch that show, Intervention. Mm-hmm. You sit here and watch it with me, and I mean, that was like, wow, you know, it hits you. I'd love to have that part of the curriculum at school. I mean, it's just an idea that in a health class or whatever, to have to, you know, watch what people actually go through to try to get off of something.
And I think that we have to remember that it's like, we're here because we care. And there's a lot of people in this town that are battling this problem themselves, that have kids that model it, that they have kids that don't understand that when you're choosing to go this route and you're choosing to go so far that you are passing out and things are happening, there are deep-seated other problems and they don't know that. So, like Margaret said, when we're reaching out, we have to reach out because we care for the person, not because we're judging their lifestyle or judging their parents' lifestyle or judging any part of it, but we have to be realistic that we need to reach out to that neighbor, that we know that the parent may have a job, that the parent may be struggling, that the parent doesn't have the knowledge themselves. Yeah. And so we have to do it in that we care, we care, we care. It's not we're judging, it's not we're putting down, we care about you. And that's got to be the key to the communication.
Mayor, do you have a last word?
I just want to say thank you. I think that this is a good start, and we fully recognize it's only a start. Every person in this room, actually every person in this community, has been affected and impacted by drinking and driving and kids drinking and, you know, adults providing alcohol. And this is going to help. And I think I want to especially thank the kids, the young people that came. This is for you.
Yes.
We're doing this for you. So, thank you. You're going to be key in helping us adults work on this problem, and we can't do it without you. I think all of the discussions and the comments about, you know, self-esteem and we care, we do care. And you know, in this community, we embrace our kids. We need to really embrace them now, because this is, we need to do it before we have any other tragedies. So, again, we've all been affected by, you know, drinking and driving and bad decisions, and I'm very encouraged, because I've lived here all my life. I know all about what goes on here. We didn't have cars when I was in high school here, and I'm one of those kids that party in this community. But I'm also very thankful that I came to my senses when I did, and hopefully I can help some other kids come to their senses before we have another tragedy. So thank you to everybody that's here. Thank you to the chief for putting this together. We're going to tackle this. We may not resolve it fully, but it won't be because we didn't try. And we're trying because we do care about our kids.
You know, I don't know how everybody else feels, but in the interest of expediting this whole process and getting it moving forward, I think if people from this group gave their interest, you know, registered their interest in serving on this task force, I'd feel very comfortable if you and the chief were to kind of choose a group, a manageable group, that represented different parts of the community and get that task force working.
Okay, we can do that.
Thank you, everyone. Again, stop by and so I can check your name to be on the task force, and thank you for coming.